Okay, my name is Les Ladner. I was born in Amore, a little village just north of Penzance, in 1943, to Leslie and Ada Ladner. It was in during the war period. My father was one of 24 siblings and half-siblings reared in Bajuian Pendine. And they, in a two up and two down, which is backing into a field, because in the winter, the water used to run down across the field, in through the back window. My granny Ladner used to leave the front door open so the water would run right through the house. Now, there were boys and girls living in this house, and my father told me that he had a brother who emigrated to New Zealand before he was born, and he'd never ever seen that brother there. But now going back to my mother was one of three girls who lived on a farm up at Pasillo called Coronation Farm, and they were three girls, and my grandfather ran the farm, but he also ran a mill as well, and he worked over at Levant Mine, so he had quite a bit to do. But my mother met my father because my father was put in service when he left school in Lanyon Farm, which is up Pasillo, and they met up there and they married in 1935, and they moved then to Bone Farm, which is down the other side of Amore, and they were milking cows. And eventually, my mother's father, my grandfather, he died in 1932, and my granny moved in with my parents. And she was, I was terrified of her, because all she did all the time was wore black, always had black on, with a white blouse, and a black straw hat with a big hat pin through it. And she was very religious, my granny was. She used to take me down to Wesley Rock Chapel on a Sunday in the mornings for morning service, then Sunday school, then I would come home and have dinner, then in the afternoon I went to Sunday school, and then in the evening she would take me down for the evening service, which sometimes it terrified me dinner, because I can remember being one night, one was about 4 year old, and the chappy dinner doing the preaching, what have you, he started ranting on about if you do not repent, the powers of hell will come into the top of your head. It fried me out that much. I burst out crying. My granny took me home, and I had a row then for coming home crying. My mother said, "What's the child crying for?" And my granny said, "Stupid child, stupid child." And I thought, well, you know, it's that there. But anyway, going back to Amore. Now, the village of Amore, when I was born there was at least 15 to 20 businesses and shops in Amore. It was a very, very industrious place. We had two wheelwrights, we had two chapels, we had a garage. The shops that was in Amore, you didn't need to go to Penzance for, they even sold bicycles in Amore. And we lived in Amore until 1950, when my father was offered a job to run a farm at Pemponds Camborne. And in the 13th of March, we moved to Camborne to live. And my father ran that farm for Mr. Leonard Thomas, who was a gentleman. He was a brilliant guy. He lived in Postlong Manor. And the 3.5 years we lived in camp, lived up that farm there, was the happiest time of my life, because we had that lovely woods there. And every morning you'd hear the boys coming down, and girls coming down from Camborne, all coming as well, and Pempons and Bripper. And we would be down in the woods before 9 o'clock in the morning, building camps, damming up the river, and there was nothing for all boys and girls, take your clothes all off and go in the river and swim around the river. And people would walk past down the walkers down there, they say, "Be careful in the river," and there was nothing made of it. It was such an happy and safe place to be, because you felt safe down there. You felt very safe down there. And like I say, my father ran that farm for Mr. Thomas, and I went to Pempon School, which is the best school that I liked of all the schools I went. I felt, because it was a village school, and it was nice up there. But down to Pimpon's Woods, as I keep repeating myself, it was so safe and so such an happy place to be down there. And then some of the things that my father, one night, I remember my father at work, because my father was a very, very, very good with cattle. And one night they had an effer calving up there, and father went down with his effer in the middle of the night, dinner, And father hadn't returned in the middle of the night. So mother come in and woke up me and my sister and said, you two got to go with me now. Father hadn't returned. We'll have to go in and find him. So when we got down and got down in the farmyard there, found the building where the heifer was having a calf, opened the door. There was the heifer in there. She had her calf. There's father there lying back against bales sleeping. So mother said, Feather, I've had to drag these kids out of bed, or these children, in the middle of the night. And you're down there sleeping. What are you thinking about then? The father now was, well, oh yeah, all right, well, I went to sleep. Well, that was me, mother Jodie, all the way up the road. I see she was going on and on and on. How my father took it, I don't know, because I was to turn around and so, and said, now, jag it in. But that was all part of it. But like I say, in 1953 up there, Mr. Thomas decided he was going to give up the farm. And he offered it to my father. And my father said, my father then was, he had to be up in his 40s. My father said, no, it's too late in life for me to start a farm now. Tom, I get going and all that. Because I was no more interested in farming than flying. I didn't like it very much, farming. It wasn't my scene. I really wanted to go in the Navy. Because everybody said, we're going to go in the Navy. So, you know, that was it. But then we moved back down to a farm called Trisvenic, down at Drift, the other side of Penzance down there. And we spent several time down there. That was a remote farm. And I went to Sangreed School for a while. And that was a long walk. It was about 4 miles up there and back. And mother decided to send me and my sister, to Newlyn Board School at Newlyn. So we went to board school until I left. To the left in there. But going back to my youth in Aymore. Aymore was a very safe place. I can remember during the war, this big steel table in the back kitchen, and mother used to cover it down with a tablecloth so nobody could see it. But that was apparently a Morrison shelter in case we got bombed there. So there and also up there, I can remember that it was so quiet. Everything was so quiet. I remember a wedding in 1948 up there, where the people in Chetorvik Terrace, they came out and stretched right across the road to other wedding photographs taken. There was no traffic. There was no traffic whatsoever. And walking down, and mother used to send me down to chip shop dinner. I wasn't very old, to get 2 pennies of chips. She had a chip shop dinner. That was Saturday. And 2 pennies of chips was enough to feed us all. And that was lovely. It was really lovely. And I also can remember coming out one night, because I couldn't be more about a couple of years old, and there was an house down the road with lights on by night, and that's the first house I ever seen by night with lights on.
Wow.
And that was when the war had ended.
The war had ended.
And then we had the parades, and the awful thing about the war is, I can remember down from where we lived in Poultry Terrace, there was a Mr. Rundle who was a guard on Great Western Railway, and he had 2 sons. And these 2 boys would be outside sitting down. Well, 2 boys, they were in their late teens, early 20s, and they would be sitting outside shaking. They would be shaking all the time, and we youngsters were afraid to go past. But apparently, they got shell shocked during the war, and they came home and they were shell shocked. And they were fine lads, big. You know, they were big lads. But we were terrified to go past. But Mr. Rundle used to make up because he had gold. He had a guard's hat with gold braid around it, and a whistle, and he would let we youngsters blow the whistle, and that was quite some time. But then in 1947, I started school in Aymore Infant School down there, which is now a private dwelling now. I remember my first day at school, that my mother took me to school, and when she left me school, she went up the road crying, and of course I'm crying because I'm being left. But. That was the start of my school days. And I can remember being, as well as, we had to go up to the high school in Aymore, which is another school up there. And I had to go up there. I remember going in through, and Mr. Beckleg was the headmaster. And going through the gate, and there was two boys fighting in the doorway. And I mean fighting. And Mr. Beckleg said, you children stand back. I've got to stop these from fighting. And one of the boys was called Dick Lawson. And the other one was Erky Turkey Allen. And I remember, they're both gone now, but I remember these 2 boys fighting, because I won more about 4 or 5, but these boys now would be like 10 or 11, and they were big boys compared with us. But we had, like going back to Amore, Amore was a lovely village. We were self-contained. There was, you knew everybody in the village. It was such a safe village to be. And it's you know, it's things like that that you remember. Mm. But I could go on forever talking about.
So I'm just going to ask Les about the right way to say dough.
Right, it's dough. You had flaky dough, or you had crispy dough, or my mother used to sometimes cook up a get piece of dough, and that was probably without that, split it down the middle, put jam on it, and or jam or butter, because mother used to make her own make butter, but she always made salt butter. Her butter was always salty butter. But reared on things like that is you know, people these days, they don't know what you're talking about when you say about these things. And, you know, and another thing was going back, marinated pilchards. Mm-hmm. Now, marinated pilchards were pilchards that were cooked in bay leaves, vinegar and spices. Now, you could add them either hot or cold as a meal. Another one was scrawled pilchards. Now, scrawled pilchards was like a big thing. How can I can show you better describe it on it was like a big mesh thing joined at the bottom, two halves of a mesh that you gutted and took your bones out your pilchards, you put them in, you pull the top over the top, so you just had these pilchards inside like a mesh. Now you throw them on the fire. You put them in the fire. Now the fire would cook them. But also the oil going up the chimney, you'd be red hot for a minute or two with oil coming. And they were lovely. They were called scalds. We call them scalded things.
A bit like a barbecue, really.
That's right, yeah. Like a barbecue thing. Like a barbecue thing, only like a mesh thing. And then we had scalded milk. Now, scalded milk. Scalded milk make cream. Now, scalded milk is take your cream off. I hated that. Detested that. But it's lots of things that, you know, we never had processed foods like they got. And there was no process. All food was cooked. Homemade. We had proper meat. We had everything was proper. And I remember catching trout down the river and taking home and having trout. And they were lovely having trout there. And also, when we moved in, we used to go down and pick limpets off the rocks there, take them home, boil the limpets. And you knew a limpet was cooked because he'd come out the shell. It was cooked in there, and eating. Now, mother would always buy a cod's head, because the cod's head, there's a lot of meat in the cod's head, and also, this may turn you off. My father would fight over who was going to eat the eyes. We'd eat the eyes. You put the eye in your mouth, and it would like disappear, in your mouth. But that was good food as well. You'd have a get bone left. They would throw it out the cats. There were one cat. Then you were that cat out squalling and fighting out who was going to have what's left of the fish out there. But it's lovely things. And a lot of things, the words is gone. My mother was always my handsome. My mother was always saying, she'd never get name. Oh, Tom, Dick, Jam, what are you called? My mother gone. What are you called? I remember my mother as well. My mother, she always wore a big pinafore wrapped right around there all the time. And also, that when we went to school, she would say, come here. She'd be washing dishes. She'd take a dishcloth out, wipe your face over, and then she would look at your neck. You'll grow tatters on your neck. And she'd wipe your neck over. Then she'd put the dishcloth back in and keep it up cleaning the dishes. But we never died.
No.
What
was she called, your mum?
Ada.
Ada, right.
Ada Ellen. She was called Ada Ellen Green.
Oh.
Yeah, she was one of three sisters my mother was. My grandfather, he had a farm, he had a small holding up called Coronation Farm at Basulla, which is the top side of Madryn. She was one of the three sisters. There was Frida was the eldest one. My sister was named Frida after her. Then there was Mabel, Elizabeth Mabel, and there was my mother, Ed Ellen. And the thing is, now going back now, this is how things have changed. My sister, my eldest Auntie Frida, she died in about 1928, that I was always told She died of an ectopic pregnancy. Yeah. All right? Mm. All right? But 10-1 after my mother died, and my sister told me what she did really die of was no, I'm telling lies. I was always told she died of cancer.
Oh, right.
I wasn't told till after my mother died that my sister told me she died of an ectopic pregnancy in West Cornwall. But the worst bit was she wasn't married.
Mm.
All right? Mm. That was a disgusting bit, eh? But she after she got pregnant, she got married to a chap called Tommy Hall. And he when she died, he went to Canada. I don't know much about him. But I can always remember my mother and my granny. If a woman in the village was pregnant, oh, just speak to her. Oh, out of wedlock. That's out of wedlock, that is. Disgusting woman. And anybody who she saw, that woman's married. How she told that man over there. That was disgusting. But then I found out later on, from my sister again, that my granny, who was so religious and so special about that, she was pregnant before marriage on Frida.
Oh. Yeah.
That, so the, how things have changed.
Yeah.
How things have changed, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's changed. But my grandfather, Richard Henry Green, he died in 1932. My granny kept the farm going for a few years. But when she gave the farm up, she moved in with, sometimes she would stay with my Auntie Mabel or stay with us, my mother Ada. But she always wore black with a white blouse on with jet, a big jet, you know, the jet jewellery.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's made out of jet. It's like a stone. And she always wore a straw hat with a big hat pin to it. Even in the house. Mm-hmm. Even in the house. And she was very religious. She did a lot of knitting for the soldiers during the war. But she used to take me every flaming Sunday dinner, when it was about 4 years, take me down to the Wesley Rock Chapel for the morning service. Then I went out in the morning to Sunday school in the morning, come home at dinner. Then I was taken down again in the afternoon for Sunday school, all right? Come home at tea. Then I was taken down again for the evening service. And they had oil lamps in at the time, dinner. And I remember then one night, they had a vicar dinner going on about, if you don't repent and all this lot, the Lord will, your head will, the fires of hell will come at your head. It made me cry because I thought my head was going to catch fire. My mother dragged me home and my mother said, what's wrong? My granny said, I want more than 4 or 5. Stupid boy going on, that a very, very good preacher tonight going about what will happen if you repent. Find a deluge on me.
I know, I bet. Yeah, only find, four. Like, could you take it as gospel, don't you? Take,
yeah, find a deluge on me.
Oh.
Find a deluge on me there. But I should also remember that my mother told me before I was born during the war, von Ribbentrop, one of the German Nazis, he was big friends with Velasquez, who had Chungetten Manor. And she saw him go through the Aymore in a big open-top car. Because if Germany had won the war, he was either going to have Chungetten House or St. Michael's Mount.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
That's kind of dark.
Yeah, it is dark, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is dark. Mm. Like I said, and the other thing I can remember as well, when the workhouse was going up in Madryn, we weren't very old, and we would see all the down and outs. Well, I say down, tramps. I shouldn't say down and outs, really, because I don't know how they were, sure. Like it. I got to come back on those words. But they always used to go to the Madryn workhouse for a night's lodgings.
Right.
Then they would be out in the morning and walk back into Penzance.
Right.
In there. So is this year really... people sleeping rough. It's nothing new.
No.
It's nothing new at all. And the other thing is nothing new. They've gone about, oh, this wonderful thing we've got there about recycling. Recycling is not new. Recycling during the war, they cut all the railings down for make money. Also, the milk bottles were returned. Corona bottles were returned. Everything in the shop was sold in loose and put in brown paper bags. The brown paper bags were saved for Father Go have his crouch to take to work.
Mm.
And the chip shop had all the newspapers.
Yeah. So it's kind of the invention of plastic, really, isn't it? Is that that's what changed things? Because plastic was a great invention for many things.
Wonderful things.
But we've kind of, we've used it for everything, haven't we? The fact that they still keep making it, it's like, because they are returning, like you can go and get your milk in glass now and get
in
it
glass. That's right.
It, yeah.
So it's nothing. It's nothing new. Mm. It's nothing new whatsoever. All this recycling, we did it all those years ago. Mm. It was all done, and same the aluminium milk bowl tops. Mm. Used to save that up, and before that, when you used to have the milk bowl tops with the cardboard stuff in it, with a little hole, you had a little hole in it, like when you was going to school, you went there. Used to take them, they used to make things with them. My mother used to get all them, get wool and what have you, make little things, and then join them all together like a table mat.
Wow.
So it's nothing new, nothing new whatsoever.
It sounds to me like you came from a very a brilliantly self-sufficient family.
I think we did.
Yeah, you know.
I think we did. And when we lived up down Pemp, you ever been down Pembourne's Woods?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, long time ago though. So yeah.
Yeah, beautiful, isn't it? Mm. When my mother used to walk from there up, she walked nearly up to Pembourne's, take her rubber boots off because it's covered in mud, put her rubber boots in the edge. She always kept a pair of shoes in the edge, take these shoes up, put on, to walk up to the Quap up Camborne. Now, that's when 12 Warren Street, all one side was Quap.
Yeah.
From top to bottom was Quap. And she got to get all her shopping in carrier bags with a string on them. She would carry them all down there, get down as far as the top of the lane there, take her boots off, put her boots in the edge, take her shoes off, put her shoes in the edge, put her boots on again to come there. Well, that's about 4 mile walking there.
Yeah, that's a long walk.
That's right. And I remember going up with my mother and going in, we're in there into where the buses used to stop there. It's all blanked off now. Where Tom Moore's shop used to be. Tom Moore's, which is now Cornish, is now British Art Foundation.
All right.
Across from that was Commercial Hotel.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Always went in there, have a cup of tea before he come home. A cup of tea and a bun before we walked home again.
Right.
You know, so... Yeah. so and Almonds... You can remember Almonds Week?
Yeah.
Almonds Week in Camborne. Camborne shut down, didn't it?
Well, it's funny as well, because they've got... I don't know, think they're building, because that really iconic kind of side of the whole... You know, the great big Holmans down Tucker Mill, you've got that building.
Yeah.
Where, I don't know, I think they're doing big loads of building
yeah,
houses.
That one Almonds... Was Pickford Smith's.
Oh, was it? I thought it was the Holman. Because they've got the Holman's, they've got the whole lovely Holman sign on by the station when you come off.
That's right. That's right. In those buildings in there, that was the offices. Then there was the apprentice school. Mm. Then there was the Holman's Museum down on the corner down there.
Yeah.
Down there. Then you went up the road then. You had the Holman's up the top. Now, at 4:30, when the Holman's left work, you couldn't walk up there. They'd all come down the street. Whoa!
Yeah, just like a block.
Hundreds of the buggers. Mm. Coming in the street, yeah, I remember that. But Almonds Week up, I remember Almonds Week up when they used to shut down, and everybody in Almonds, they used to go down, nearly all of them, they used to go down Cadreby, and all, they had chalets and all in Cadreby. That was the annual...
The holiday
there. Yeah. Well, it's the same as Penzance. When Swindon, we had Swindon Week in Penzance, when the Great Western Railway Station or the works in Swindon closed down for a week, everybody had free passes, they were all coming from Penzance.
Right, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they were all coming from Penzance, Swindon Week. See all the trains coming down, and they would keep all the carriages down here. Then they would come in the station for all the people to go back.
Wow.
You ever see?
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And did they stay in the carriages then, or did they come and
stay? No, they stayed in guest houses and whatever.
Yeah. That's the best way to do it, isn't it?
Yeah, but Penzance was loads of guest houses, loads of them, and hotels down here. Mm. Loads of them there. It's all gone. They're all gone now.
Mm.
And Penzance Promenade. Now, out Penzance Promenade, out the far end, where they got that what's it, that their skate park thing, that was Cafe Marine out there.
Was it?
And then you had Weary Town.
Yeah.
Weary Town was Roosevelt's out there, down there. And the only place, the only bit that's left of actual Weary Town is Red Light Pub.
Right.
And do you know why it's called the Red Light?
I'm guessing.
People thought, I don't know what you think about it. It wasn't. Now, before New Row was built, the row used to go across the top of the beach. There was a pole outside of that, that when the tide was in,
right,
there was a red light.
Ah, okay.
Or if the tide was coming, you couldn't go no farther.
Right.
And that's where the name Red Light came from. Everybody thought it was prostitution.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's nothing to do with prostitution.
It was to do with the tide.
It was to do with the tides.
Wow.
Because if you walked to Newlyn across on the walk across the garden, you look down on the beach, you can still see the stones there on the old road.
Yeah, you can, yeah. That's the old road, is it?
That's all part of the old road.
Wow.
Down where that is.
Wow.
Yeah. Because the tide used to come right out. That's before the Lydon and all was built up there.
Right.
So
wow.
I remember before the Lydon was built.
Wow.
Up there. I remember the big guns in Penzance. down to near dinner. And I can also remember, as I was saying to the lady over just now, I remember coming out just after the war and walking down to Amore, my mum and dad. I remember about two and a half, and there was a house down there all lit up in the night. Never seen a house in the before with lights on.
Wow, yeah.
Down there. And they said, you know, that they took the blackouts down.
Yeah. Down finally there. Could do that, yeah.
You could you could walk down there.
Mm.
Yeah, and we used to have victory walks down to Amore, walking behind Mrs. Clisky, and she would be playing an accordion. We all singing war, were we little kids singing war songs?
Wow.
Yeah, wish me luck. As you wave me goodbye, and all the songs like that. It was,
wow.
It was lovely, you know, to think that, you know, the war had ended. Not that I knew much about the war.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you know, my parents knew about the war, like, and I can always remember my father had brothers in the war, and they used to come home. They used to come home and stay. Say it was in Paul Theodorus before they went home to see mother up Pajuian. Did I tell you my father's one of 24?
You did right at the beginning. You said yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. They were.
Well, your grandma or whatever, like she must have been made of some strong.
My grandmother was 98 when she died.
Right. Wow.
Yeah, and you think I'm short? She's only about that high. She's only about that high. And I can remember my father up in his 70s. My father and his brother used to go home to see her Sundays because they all used to go home and see mother Sundays. All the boys that stay in this country, and they used to stand down. Down in Pajuian Stank there, down by Sigmund's shop, and she would come out and about 4 o'clock, and she would shout, "You boys, your tea's ready in now," and they would all go, "All right, mother," and they would just walk in. One, no, oh yeah, how you doing? I'll finish my pack, and then soon mother shouted, they went in.
Well disciplined.
They went in. They just went in, but she had my auntie Dot stayed. She never got married. My auntie Dot, and she stayed. She looked after her mother. And one of the boys called Rebbers, he stayed home to look after mother. He never got married. He stayed home to look after mother. And my Uncle Joe was killed, unfortunately, down Geber Mine in 1954.
Right.
He was killed down there. He got blown up down there.
Wow.
But my memories of him, I can see him now. He used to sit in the stairs. There was nowhere to sit. He was sitting in the stairs having his dinner. And he always used to have boiled teddies. Mashed potatoes and pour milk on boiled potatoes.
Wow.
Yeah, and he ate that up. Wow. Yeah, yeah. Oh, happy. They were very happy days that shouldn't be forgotten. Yeah, if you want to talk about the food we used to eat, it might turn some people's stomachs, but the food we had, food was scarce during the war. I can remember during the war, my mother and father, they got half a pig from somewhere, which was forbidden, yeah. And they had this pig hanging up in the back. This is when it was Amore, when I lived in Amore, hanging in the back shed. And mother, every now and again, she would go and cut a piece of pig off to either roast or cut a piece off to fry for bacon. And then somebody said, the Ladner's got a pig, or my mother was telling me. So father had to go in the middle of the night and bury this pig, get rid of this pig. But going away from that. The food we used to eat. Now my granny Ladner up Pendine, she used to make pudding skins, which are pig's intestines, all washed out, stuffed with plenty of dough. If you know what dough is, dough, that's dough, dough, yeah. With dough, lard, plenty of lard in it, so it made a patty, and currants. And that was baked in the oven. Now you could either eat that hot, or eat it cold. When you had it cold, the lard would be like a great stream of lard in it, which was handsome, really. It was lovely. The other food we used to have was bread and dripping, and mother would make lardy cake. Now, lardy cake, again, was a piece of dough put down, covered in lard, another piece of on top of that, and baked. Now, when you wet that, cold, and in the middle was soft with heavy cake. And I mean heavy with a Y, not with a B or A like they do it down St Ives, because they X dinner, they can spell dinner, they X can dinner. But we used to have that, and also the meat we used to have. Now, mother would go to a slaughterhouse or anywhere like that, and where they're slaughtering pigs, and she would buy all the tails of pigs, because there was a bit of meat on the bottom there. She would have a big dish, and she would make up gravy and stock and what have you. Put these tails in there, cover them again with dough, make little holes, pull the tails out through, and that was called curly whirly pie. That was curly whirly pie. We used to eat the tails all because they were soft bones. Pig's trotters, knuckle pie was another one. Cow's udders. Now we've had cow's udder. Mother boil a cow's udder and eat that. Now, and also with a pig, the meat out the cheeks, the meat out the cheeks of a pig, and the ears of a pig. The pig then would be boiled up and turned into brawn, which was, if for years I couldn't look at it, but now I like brawn now. What else we used to have? Oh, it used to be, boiler chickens was the best one. You get a chicken that's past its point to lay, when he didn't lay no more. Father would dispose of the chicken, take it off. But you couldn't roast them because they were too tough to eat. You could wear them on your boots and shoes, they were that tough. Mother would boil them up for 2 or 3 days, and then make a pie with them, gravy and a bit of dough over the top again, and do that there. And tripe. Now, tripe, I love tripe.
Do you?
I love tripe. Tripe. Now, I can eat raw tripe. I love it now. Because the other day, I went into the local butcher. Well, we've only got one butcher in Penzance now. And they had tripe there. And there's an old chap there called Telfer Rapson. Telfer's about the same age as me. And I said, Telfer, that tripe there about? He said, yeah. I said, I wouldn't mind a piece of that now. And he cut off a piece and he gave me a piece. After, well, the shop cleared. Everybody went to the shop. I'm chewing on this. I haven't got a lot of teeth left, but I'm chewing on this piece of raw tripe, and he was handsome. And another thing that mother used to have an oxtail, or a cow's tail, and hanging on a nail at the back. Father was sharp on his knife, slice it down, pull the skin and all off, and mother would boil it up, make soup, and we'd eat the meat out of the joints. There. The stuff that we ate is unbelievable. I shouldn't be here, not really, for what I've ate.
Well, I don't know, you've eaten it. It's interesting because it's all of the cuts that are actually less expensive, aren't they?
That's right.
Yeah.
Kidneys. And we used to have bacon on the bone, that when you slice it, you have little bits of bone left in the bacon. Bacon on the bone. And they say the meat near the bone is sweetest, and it was. That was sweet bacon, it was, because the meat near the bone. And we used to, and every Sunday for dinner, we always had roast dinner. When my father was a farm labourer, we always had roast dinner. And lots of times we'd have a rib of beef, you'd have a rib, we'd have a Sunday lunch out of that. The meat, some of the meat we cut off, put in the safe. Now a safe is a thing hanging on the wall outside, covered in mesh, that you put meat in, because we never had fridges or nothing like that. And you put that in there to keep the flies from getting there. Now, that was for Father on Monday, his Monday dinner. He'd have that with boiled teddies. But a fly would get in every week, a fly, and we'd lay eggs on it. Now, Mother would say, there's fly blows on this piece of again. Cut that bit of beef off, throw it at the dogs, then Father would eat what's left. But the bone, you say, but the bone then was boiled. That was boiled up, and boiled. They get everything out the bone. Now, Mother would have, then she'd have split peas, yellow peas, big thing of yellow peas. Soak they overnight. Put them next day with leeks, cabbage, and she would put something in that he would, that you'd have a skin on top, he would look yellow, like whether she put more lard in that or what, I don't know. But that was a meal. And when it was cold, it was thick. You would cut the top of it off, thick. But you had Mother would boil it up again, that would be another meal.
Wow.
Rich is the things we ate. And like new teddies. Now, new teddies, when new teddies come, Mother would boil up new teddies. She would boil them up. Now, she would say to Father, have you got any old teddies? Because new teddies went boil. They went boil. They won't make chips, and they won't make pasties because they go black.
Mm.
So you had to have old teddies for that. And we would have a great dish of these new teddies with butter and mint sauce on it. Homemade mint sauce. Mother got cut a bit of mint out of the garden and chop it up and soak it in vinegar and what have you, with a bit of sugar. And that would be a lovely meal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she also, Mother used to... We used to have, she used to bring you... Oh, sorry, I'm going to...
That's all right, no, that's fine.
She would bring in, she would make a big bowl of milk and put in front of Rayburn or Cornish Range to get the cream off the top. Now, when she cut the cream off the top, we had the cream. Now, when the cream started turning, she would turn that into butter.
Mm-hmm.
She would turn it, but the milk there was scalded milk, called scalded milk. My father, I ate it. My father loved scalded milk because there's no fat. There's no fat or nothing in scalded milk. Oh. It's just like really white water. Really, father loved that there. Another thing, mother used to make homemade saffron cake, and all that homemade saffron cake and bread. She'd make her own bread. She'd make up the bread, putting in an enamel pan, putting in front of it with a clean tea towel over it. Overnight for it to rise. Then she met, but we wasn't allowed to eat that hot. Mother said, if you eat that up, it'll swell up in your stomach. That'll swell up in your stomach. You had to wait till it was cold. But he wouldn't last, after a couple of days, he was gone. He was gone. He didn't like the, they put rubbish in it now to keep the bread going for 2 or 3 days. Now, that there. And another thing was, we used to have, now going back to fish and chips, we used to have fish and chips in a cone, lagging them with vinegar, and drink the vinegar. Now, mother say you can't drink that; draw your blood up. That would draw your blood up. So there, and but loads of food we used to eat, and you know, and we had an orchard up Cameron over, and people used to come down with the orchard. Mother would pick these apples, put them in the loft the day before Christmas, and also father we would go down Pimpon's Woods Center, and pick cob nuts, which are hazelnuts.
Yeah,
pick all them. Pick them all. They was all white. You would put them up there as well, and they would come on. But the trouble was, you get a mouse up there,
right?
And when you go, there's a hole in it, no bloody nut in it. you have the shell in it, and nothing in it. But it's out there. And also up Camborne, when we was up Camborne living, we didn't have any electric up there. We now no electric, no running water, no telephone, no nothing like that, nothing like that whatsoever, and. We had a copper. It was a copper in the corner of the kitchen. The mother used to fill up with water to boil for the clothes and what have you. But there was a tap that came at the back. It went through on the wall, and we just had a. It was just a bath in there, a bath, and that you turn that tap on to get hot water out for the bath. Now, but the best part of it was you never had no cold water, so you had to go up the piece. Now, you know what a piece is?
No.
You know what a piece is? A piece is a well.
Oh right, okay.
Piece
yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
We went up the piece, and you used to have to carry water in from that piece to put it in the bath to cool it down. But that was also our drinking water. Now that water was kept in a stainless steel bucket, and that water was that good you could cut it with a knife. That water you drunk it, and it was always lovely. But that we had that there. We had a bucket toilet, which I won't go into that side of it. You know, we had. And the bucket toilet was from here down the other side of his shoes away from the house.
So yeah, you had to walk all
in
that
the middle
way.
Of the night. In the middle of the night with a candle. yeah, that there. We had
Is that why Peace Pub's called Peace Pub?
No, that's Peace.
Oh, Peace. So
a piece is P-A-A-T-H.
Oh,
Peace.
Okay.
Peace.
Oh,
peace.
Right.
That's a Cornish word for well, a piece. Oh. Peace Pub. Peace Pub up there where you were talking. I don't know why that's called Peace Pub.
No, just wondered if it. I wondered if it had been, you know, like, come from that.
That could have come from somewhere up there. I expect you find Peace Pub might have come from mining up there, because you got the great flat load down below you down there, up there.
Yeah.
Up there. Yeah, but going back to my father's childhood, my father left when he was school when he was 13, and he went down Levant to work on the stamps. Now, stamps are where they crush a stone down. But he didn't like that very much, so he went to work for a farmer called Jasper. And then he went in service. And my mother also, when she left school, she went in service down in a big, a Blair House, Madryn. She went down there. And she was still in service down there when I was born. And living in Amore, because I can remember going up one day with her. And he had a window stuck up her. And she'd get the window and knock and put her arm right to the glass. But she cut her wrist up here. She cut her wrist open. And I remember her putting a towel around and walking back down to Amore. Down there. But she went, she was there for quite some time up there. up there, working up there. And my father then during the war, the things my father told me during the war, he can remember seeing the German bombers coming down over Bone Valley. They would come down Bone Valley, and he said the bomb aimer in them used to lie on the floor, and they would wave. Then they would go out over Mount Spey. Once they go over Mount Spey, they was heading home then, see.
Right.
They was going to, and he also had a German prisoner of war with him in during the war. And he said he was a nice chap, he said, and he had a photograph in his pocket all the time of his wife and family, and he didn't know if they were still living or not. But he said he was all right.
Well, I think that's the thing, wasn't it? War's hard because it's just people, isn't it?
That's right.
Pitted against each other, you know.
That's right. That's right. It's just started over. It's like the First World War. First World War was started because two cousins fell out. Victoria's family fell out, and they fell out. That's how the First World War started. And then France, Ferdinand got, he was assassinated. Mm. But it's just crazy because I don't understand it, not really.
No.
Yeah, the words in Cornish dialect is, for a lady, you call them my handsome, my sweetheart, my darling, how are you doing, pard? And down some eyes is my child. Are you right, my child? Or my cock. My cock is another saying down there. They're all Cornish words, and you get people's different names. When you get somebody that's Boy Richard or Feather Richard or Grandfather Richard, and is Grandfather, I never call my mother was mother, and Feather, mother and Feather, and we had to call our grandparents grandmother. She had to be grandmother. We're allowed to call her granny or nothing like that. It was grandmother, things like that. But there was loads of words. There was Whitnicks. Now, Whitnick is a name for a stoat.
All right.
That's a name for a stoat. Because that was another saying, screeching like a Whitnick. Because they used to screech. And my mother said, he's screeching like a Whitnick. Now, that's there. And there was another saying now, Corey's bull. Now, when we lived out in St. Brian, now, on the Runnel Stone, which is off Forth Colonel, there used to be a big boy on there that in the winter, when it's bad weather, it would roar like a bull. And that was Corey's bull. That was a sure sign bad weather was coming. That was coming there. But other things, it was loads of things we said. And scat-ups. Scat-ups, there's another thing, he's a scat-up. And lash-ups, that bloody proper lash-up. And another word was, my mother used to say, which has been, sadly, I think it's gone the wrong way, was have you seen a gentleman coming down the road with a waistcoat on, with a walking stick? He was a gay old gentleman.
It just meant happy, like...
Gay, then meant... he's an happy old gentleman. Gay old gentleman he is, isn't it?
Mm.
Can you look at either? Look. And then another was, my mother used to say, oh, look at her there. And I'm going to be rude now.
Don't matter.
All fur coat, no niggers. That was another saying of my mum. All fur coat, no nigger.
What did that mean?
That meant, I think you meant that she had a fur coat showing that she was got money or look at who I am, like, but they couldn't afford the clothes underneath it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They couldn't afford the clothes underneath it.
So kind of showy.
Kind of showy. That was all showy. And my mother say, oh, look at that woman. Oh, she ain't no good. She never ever been any good. Mother didn't know who they was. She never ever been. Look at this, she over there. Look, God, my God. Things like that. And another thing was, now, mozzle. Mozzle is another Cornish word. The miners use for croust.
Oh, right, okay.
That's mozzle.
Oh, right.
Mozzle, that is. That's mozzle. Croust, of course, is your break time. And going back to meals again, my father used to go down every morning 5:30 when we had the farm over, bring cows and milk cows. But 9:30, my mother, he would come in between 9 and 9:30, my mother had to get cast iron frying pan. She would fry everything in it, eggs, bacon, bit of steak, she had a bit of skirt or anything like that, all fried in dripping, all right? That was tipped on a plate for father. Now, father, the juice is left in the pan. Fill out the pan, you get a bit of dried bread, soak that up in what's left, in that's left, and eat it. My father lived to be 84. Mind you, he died of a heart attack, mine. But he lived to be 84.
Yeah.
Put line in your stomach. line of your stomach. It was all your... And stew. Now, another one was stew. My mother would make stew, a get pot of stew up her. Everything went in the stew. And she put what... She never made dumplings, but she made dumpling mix, homemade dumpling mix. And she put it on the top of that. And that was called duff. My mother would call that duff. Now, when you had your stew out, you ate your stew. My mother made stew, never put gravy. My mother said, don't put gravy in stew. The stew is made with its own juices, what you add in it. Now, father would add the duff, and we would. Then we would soak up the juices of the duff and eat that. But what was left, father would add for his afters. He put treacle on it and eat that there.
Wow.
Treacle. And going back to another thing, we used to drink milk from a cow.
Yeah.
Hot milk from a cow. Hot milk from a cow. Never took no, and fresh eggs. I remember mother, if she had a chicken there, she wanted, and we've had eggs that have been hatched.
Yeah.
Eggs sticking in the chicken in the shell.
Right.
Have them there, but it was good, but the yolks were yellow.
Mm.
The yolks were yellow, and you used to answer me. You was lovely. There was happy days.
Oh.
Very happy days. You had me crying in a minute.
Yeah. It's really lovely to think about. I mean, it's kind of... What's amazing is it's not that long ago, really. It feels like that sometimes when you're talking, it feels like it could be really a long time ago. But it's in living memory,
not.
Isn't it?
It's not that long ago. Like I said, I'm 80.
Yeah,
I'm 80. Oh, I tell
long.
You the other year, I met my father. My father went down to register my birth. And got the wrong date on the birth certificate. So I got two birth certificates. I got 14th of January 1942
right.
And the 12th of January 1943.
Which one's right?
The 43 one. But Feather had to go all the way down there now. Feather, come on. And apparently Mother said, you silly bugger, she said, you got the wrong date on that.
Yeah.
It's 43 in 42. Feather had to go down back downtown again then to register the bugger properly.
Well, you'd have thought they'd have said it was the wrong year.
Yeah, wrong year. She just took registered that.
Yeah.
And then I remember my sister being born. Remember sitting in the stairs up Poltair, Aaron, mother upstairs, crying.
So that was at home?
At home. I was born at home as well. Crying upstairs. And somebody said, more water, more towels, more water, more towels. That boy's in the way. Get out of the way. I'm wondering what was happening upstairs.
Yeah, I bet.
Mm. Wondering what was happening.
Yeah, it would have been quite frightening in many ways.
And I tell you another thing I remember as well is, and this is... This I've always stuck in my mind. My mother in 1947, she had a nervous breakdown.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I remember being sitting on the wall, and they're carrying my mother out on a stretcher, two lambs on one either side, and she turned around, she looked at me, and said, "This is your doing."
Oh no!
And that has always stuck in my mind.
Oh, it wasn't.
And I don't know why. I wasn't overly close to my mother. She's my mother.
Mm.
But always in mind, why did she say that to me? This is all you're doing.
Just probably overwhelmed with being,
yeah,
you know.
But that have always that have always stuck in my mind. I don't know why. Just
you have to remember that she wasn't feeling very well.
No,
at that
that's
point.
Right. I've thought about that afterwards. I've thought about that and I thought, well, what did she say?
Well, yeah, what have I done?
Yeah, what did she say it?
Yeah.
What did she say? You know, and she went to St. Lawrence's up there. And remember my father used to go up there. The chap my father was working for, he used to take my father every two, 3 days. He had a car and he used to take up there. And she got... But my mother was a very nervous person.
Mm.
I think she was ruled by a rod of iron by my granny.
Right, okay.
I think a lot of it was to do with that.
Mm.
Was to do with that. Because, you know, it was... It was in their days, the mother, like the mother used to take, because I remember when my eldest daughter was born, she used to phone up my wife at the time and say, "Is that child got enough clothes on? Have she got a vest on? Have she got enough? Are you feeding her right?" You know, it's.
Yeah.
I think that was the grandparent became the matriarch.
Right. Yeah.
I think there and. Whether they realised what they were saying, but it was all done in these days. It's not done in these days because
no,
after the grandparents don't care what the grandchildren are like these days.
Mm.
When you look at it,
yeah.
they just
Whereas a lot of people are a lot further away from each other, aren't they, as well?
A lot further away from it. See, my family have all gone away. I got daughter live at grandparent, one live over rail. I got one live over rail. She don't have a lot to do with me, but I've never forced it.
No.
I've let that go. If she wants to, she knows where I am. I've got a son lives in Camborne. I don't see him very often, but my two youngest boys, I got one lives in my old house at Aymore, and the other boy lives down St Ives. I see them quite.
So how many have you got altogether?
I had five children of my own.
Right, okay.
I had three stepchildren as well.
Wow.
Three stepchildren, so. But, the bit I like is that all my family now got their own houses.
Yeah, lucky.
They got their own houses.
Good.
They all got their own ears. But Nicola over... Now, Nicola, my second daughter, she's got the same temper as me. She's not going to give in. I can see what I was like with my mother now. And she's... But she knows where I am if she wants me.
Yeah, that's the main thing.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Boiled pasties. I've seen my mother boil a pasty, but she would never love her on it because Cornish pasties had to be cooked. And the only way to cook a Cornish pasty is in a range or a Rayburn. They got me all this lot doing them in the oven. That's no good. That's no good whatsoever. And my mother's pasties used to be, she used to make a short crust, and she used to put skirt in the pasty, teddies, turnip, swede, a knob of butter to make gravy, but she would make sure that the skirt had a bit of fat in on to make gravy. And then some parsley on top of that, and then cook it, and then that was my mother's pasties, and they were handsome, it was proper handsome, but going back to Ebby cake, now there's two ways of baking Ebby cake. There's thick flaky Ebby cake like the idiots down the house to cook, or there's flat Ebby cake like my mother used to cook, which isn't very thick at all, and that was better. I like that better with corns and raisins in. But I tell you what, I can't remember as well. Remember food parcels coming from my granny's cousin in Australia was being sent over during the war. And in them, we used to have tins of peaches. It would be tins of peaches. There would be fruit cake all wrapped up in this year. And the first time I ever seen chewing gum. And that was a square block of stuff. Well, to chew it, you had, no one had got no teeth, to chew it, you had to go in a crusher really to chew it up. But I can remember most a lot, but they were wrapped up in like parachute muslin. And out of that muslin, my mother would make things out of that muslin. She would make handkerchiefs, she'd make doilies, she'd make, everything was made out of that. But the fruit cake, I remember the fruit cake was rich. But it must have been good stuff because it came across by boat from Australia. So you were talking about 6 or 7 weeks coming across there. It had to be good. It had to be good. And there would be tins of jam and preservatives from Australia that you couldn't get during the war year. And there was loads of things. But going back to when I was going to school, going back to Mother's pasties, Mother used to send me down Wednesdays when I went down to board school. Go down, give me half a crown. I'll go down to the Quat Butcher's down Newlyn, and I have half a crown's worth of skirt, which is a big bag full. And that would do all these pasties. Mother would make pasties, and the bit she got over, she'd make little pies which she got over. But half a crown would, like, near enough buy a cow down there. Always remember that lot. Then catch a bus home there, and Mother would be home there waiting, and yeah. You know, it's all these things that are gone. People, what we get, people now would say, whoa, they turn their noses up to what we get now. You know, in those days, because we had to eat it because we had nothing else to eat. We had nothing else to eat, and you know, and porridge. We used to have porridge in the mornings. Have porridge. Well, that was thick, and the milk used to come round those days. This was during the war. And a woman she had a Model T Ford, and she became, her and her sister became, they were Land Army girls, and they became, my mother called her Land Army girls, but they launched a mother. And they came around, I remember they used to have a milk churn, He was a 17-gallon milk churn, which is a big milk churn, and they had like a ladle over there and tip it out. Mother would get with a jug and tip it in. And also going back, they say about brucellosis and TB, whatever. When we lived up Penbons, I've drunk milk hot from a cow, straight from a cow. I'm 80 years old and I'm still fit.
And you probably had some of the best food.
I think we did have the best food, but it was quite funny. We always at Christmas, we used to have a rooster up there and he used to be crowing. My father said, "You crow so much, you bugger," he said. "We're having you for Christmas dinner." But the thing is, when you roasted that meat, then the skin went brown, the flesh went brown. It's not that the stuff that's treated with water now, because nobody knows what good meat tastes like now. They don't know what good. One year, we decided we'd have two geese. And I see we come out one morning there, and he shouted, "Edda." Mother said, "What, Feather?" They geese dinner. Geese never went in last night. They were down in the field, where what we call a town field at Penbons. They were down in the field dinner, down there sleeping. I said, "Feather, they're near." The Feather said, "Some are they bloody geese dinner." Excuse my swearing.
Doesn't matter.
There's geese. He saw it up going. When we went down there, he took their heads out from the wreath. A stoat had got them in the night and drained them of blood, because the stoat would bite them in the neck when they're sleeping and he'd drink the blood. And so what are we going to do? So Feather said, "Bring him in, pluck them." We plucked these two.
Wow.
And we had goose. We had two geese then to eat then.
Wow.
But up there. And the other thing, the lovely memory I got of Penbons Woods as well is, we had loads of buzzards down there, and they would wiggle it round and round, and they would make mewing sounds like kittens.
Mm.
And one of my favourite walks now. I go up there quite often, out of Penbons Woods. But I don't see no buzzards now.
They kind of go, psst.
That's a noise.
Don't they? That's right.
That's a noise.
Yeah, I can't quite do it. But yeah, when I was in Tregidoran, we always had a pair up there, and I love that sound.
Oh, the noise going in there.
Beautiful.
And also, going back to Penbons School, now I had the honour, on my 80th birthday, my partner phoned Penbons School and asked if I could have my photograph taken at Penbons School. So she says, "Yes." She said, "Come up by all means. When do you want to come up?" She said, "Well, his birthday's on Thursday. Will you think?" So we said, "Yes." So I went up on Thursday up there. And I went round and spoke to all the kids up there, all the kids that were there, up there now. And then they said, "Right, we're going to have a special school assembly for you." So I goes into the school assembly and all these kids, and the teacher said, "This is Les." I'm not Mr. Ladner, I'm Les. "This is Les." I went to the school when the coronation was on, and it was his birthday day, and he said he's got some pictures. I've put the pictures up on the wall, so to all the kids. And now what do we do for Les? They all sung happy birthday to me.
Aww.
They sung happy birthday, and they gave me a birthday cake. I tell you what, the old waterworks was nearly coming down. And they said, "Now we're going to ask Les a big favour now. Could he come up before the coronation and speak to the children about what they did in the coronation in 53? I said, "Yeah, by all means, I'll come and talk to them." So I got to meet the school council. So I said, "Yeah." So I goes up there now, meet the school council. I'm sitting up there at the table now. All these little kiddies down there sitting around the table down there. All the boys want to do is talk about football. And all the girls never talk at all. So I had this, but there was a little girl sitting down next to me. And I said, "Now, did your mums or your grandparents go to school?" And they said, "Yes, yes, yes." And the little girl said, my great-granny went to school." I said, "What is your great-granny called?" She said, "Sylvia Main." I said, "I know Sylvia. Know Sylvia well." I said, "Sylvia's mother and my mother are good friends in the Women's Institute in Penbons." So, but apparently Sylvia's about 84, 85. She goes up every day to listen to children read.
Oh, brilliant.
So I thought it was absolutely brilliant. Now we went on from there. I gave them a talk and whatever. But I had to go up there again and speak to every class up there about what happened in there. Up there talking to the kids and all stuff. But the funny bit of it was, the kids would say to me, "Did you record it on your phone or on your tablet?" And I said, "No, we never had no tablet." I said, "We never even have television." I said, "In fact, on the coronation day, we boys from Penbons We went up Camborne and stood outside a Currys shop up Camborne, and he had a small TV in there. The screen wasn't bigger than that cup. And we watched some of the Coronation in black and white when it was flicking and all this lot. And we boys would come up the front, then we were pushbacks for somebody else to look. And I said, we had a do down Brifford down there in the afternoon. And I said, I won third prize for dressing up as Robin Hood. And I said, my sister won first prize for Bo Peep down there. And it was the kids were fascinated. And then we got asked up the school fete. And we went up the school fete as well. And we had a photograph thing up the school fete and what have you. And I thought it was lovely. It's a lovely school. Mm. Pembourne School is a typical, how can I say, is a typical, well, village school. It's moved with the times, because they've all got to move with the times, because the veranda we had, the school veranda's gone, and there's a big school hall built where we used to sit, play out there. That's all gone. But you feel so relaxed, and the children love it ever. But it was a big when I went to a school near Newland after being in Pembourne School, with, don't get it wrong, there's councillors, you know, their fathers were fishermen and our people. It was a different kettle of fish than there.
Harder, yeah.
It was a different kettle of fish than there. It was a different dinner. But like I say, well, I'll go back now. When I left Newland School, I went to Camberwell Tech. Had to go to Camberwell Tech. I did 12 months up there. Then I got an apprenticeship in Truro Garages in Truro.
Yeah.
All right? And I lived in St. Brian.
Yeah.
All right? At the time. So I went into Truro. I went in lodgings for 18 months up Truro. My wage was 15 shilling a week. All right? And I went in lodgings up there. I hated Truro because it was in a pit. You got to go uphill to get out Truro. Everywhere you go, you're uphill. Unless you go down the river. And then I bought a motorbike. And I went from Truro, from St. Brian to Truro every day on a motorbike.
Wow.
Yeah. I did that and then in 64, the chap I served my time as a diesel fitter, he opened up a garage in Camborne by Camborne Station.
Okay.
And I went with him. I was with him for about 9 years, I suppose, 9-10 years. He fired me every day. Yeah, he was a strict man, a brilliant mechanic. I learned everything I learned off him, and I stayed with him, and then one day I just had enough and I left. And then I went with another chap for 19 years. I was fitting then, driving lorries, and I actually, back in the end of the 80s, when work went quiet and everything, I went down Geaver.
Oh, did you?
Mm. I went down Geaver to work. I was down Geaver working, and I finished up working on all the attraction they got down Geaver now. All the attraction, the mine they go through now, me and another chap, we cleaned all that lot out. And then I went to finish up my time then, because in 2002, I had a little bit of, they thought it was art problems, but it wasn't art problems. I went to I was home, I thought, shall I return? And Biffin Waste Services phoned me up, and they knew that I was home, and they wanted me to go over there for, can you do 5 weeks of work, we've got a man off work. And I went over and ended up 10 years.
Wow.
10 years, and I worked then until I was 67. And when I was 67, I did a lot of work for YOSS, the Youth Offending Service.
All right.
Looking after youngsters there, doing panels and what have you. All because one of my sons got in a bit of problems, and I saw the way that they treated him, and I thought, I'm going to repay this a bit. And I went on with them. Also went in there, and I'm still doing it. I'm picking up stuff at the British Art Foundation in Penzance. And for the last 3 years, I've also been working for the food bank.
Have you?
Yeah, delivering food to the food bank, which this morning I picked up for the Art Foundation and the food bank before I came here.
Wow.
I only went up to the food bank to help out for a couple of days. This is when COVID was on. I went up for 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's me up to date.
That is you up to date. And it's interesting, like, that, you know, talking about the food at the beginning and, you know, all of the different kind of, Because even like you were right about the butcher in town.
Yeah.
And they're great in there.
Yeah, obviously. He's the only one that's left.
Yeah, but it's hard because people won't eat the things that you used
they
to eat.
And they wouldn't eat kidneys now.
No.
They wouldn't eat kidneys.
We all used to. When I was growing up, we
and
always
liver,
had...
pig liver. Yeah. We lived on pig liver. Yeah. Pig liver. Yeah. Pig liver, you know, it was on. And kidneys, you wash them out, but you pull the cords down first, the little bladders out the kidneys. And yeah. Lovely. Kidneys lovely, you know.
Right. There are 240 pennies in a pound. There are 420 bits in a shilling. There are 80 20 bits in a pound. There are 120 shillings, 120 pence and 10 shillings. There are a florin is 2 shillings. 2 and 6 is now 12 and a half p. 20 that would be 30 old pence. The 5 shillings, there was a 5 shillings. 10 shilling notes were brown. A pound note was green. A 5 pound note was white, and it was a great big one. That was you folded that down into squares. But money and halfpennies, there was four farthings in a penny, 2 halfpennies in a penny. But that is proper money. That's all I got to say. That's when before we were diddled, before we went to decimalisation.